Well, the new research is out, and I feel so good about it. If you watched any of the news this past week, a brand new study came out saying that men are better with directions than women.
Fake news.
No, this was an actual study. And who said that? And so, anybody else hear this story, just to kind of help me out here? None of you people watch the news. Tori, thank you. Tori saw it. And she was probably taken aback by that. Well, the reasoning in the study, and it was a pretty wide study, was that because boys tend to be outside more when they're younger, kind of roaming all around the neighborhood, they have a better sense of direction early on. I didn't see much else in the study that really helped out a lot, but that at least was one study that that came out. And of course, I mean, I don't believe it. And actually, I remember a time when I was driving, and Jenny and Jack were in the car. We were out in Colorado somewhere, and we had been kind of on this road going to a place where we could fish. And as we got finished fishing and, you know, got back in the truck and started to head back, I mean, there was some disagreement about the way back and some disagreement about this particular route that I was heading on. And I was sure that this was the way back. I mean, I knew this was the way. I didn't have to look at my phone. I didn't have to, you know, find a map or anything. I just innately knew which way to go. And so I got up onto a highway, and we were trucking literally right down the highway. And I noticed, and not just I, but others in the car, noticed that cars were coming right at us. And I thought, these people are going the wrong way. What are they doing? They're going to get somebody killed. And Jenny and Jack were a little bit upset. They were a little bit frustrated. And Jenny, ever so gently, said, "You're going the wrong way. This is a one way. You're going down the wrong side of the highway. That's why people are honking at you. Turn off to the side before we get killed." And it was then that I was really humbled that, you know, maybe I don't always know the way. We all like to go our own way, don't we? Whether we're male or female, we like to go our own way, our own particular direction, that we always feel like we know what's best, right? We know the best thing for us. We like to do our own thing. Well, as we heard in our first reading this morning from Jonah, and I love Jonah. I remember when I was in seminary and we had to translate this in Hebrew class, and I kind of dreaded it at first, but I mean, it's a shorter book, and I thought, okay, you know, I can make it through this. But as we worked on translating it, it really came alive for me. I mean, I grew up in church and had heard about Jonah forever, but it really helped me understand Jonah a little bit better. It helped me understand what was going on in Nineveh a little bit better. And so as I read through this, I felt like Jonah in a lot of different ways. And as you reflect on the story, and we don't go through the whole story today, but God had called Jonah to go to Nineveh. He said, "I want you to go there. The people are doing injustice to the people in their community, especially the people who are most vulnerable, the poor and the hungry, the sick. I mean, they were just treating them terribly." And so he says, "Jonah, I want you to go there, and I want you to call them to repent. And if they don't do it, I'm going to really judge them harshly." And so Jonah says, "Okay, God, that's your direction. But, you know, I don't like the Ninevites. None of us like the Ninevites. They're horrible people. They're not even your people. And so I'm going to go a different direction. And so he heads off to Tarshish. You know, he goes the complete opposite direction. He says, God, I know that you're a God of grace. I know you're going to give them a second chance and everything's going to be good with them. I don't want any part of it, so I'm going to go the other way. And so we know what happens, right? He ends up getting thrown off the boat as the other sailors recognize this guy is bad luck. And so we're going to throw him off. And so he's swallowed by this great fish, and he spends some time in the fish's belly, and he gets right with God, right? And God allows that fish to spit him out. And the Hebrew language is pretty graphic there. I mean, it's just this bleh, out onto the shore, this nasty mess. And so he changes his plan. He comes to his senses, and he says, okay, God, we're going to do it your way. I'm going to go your direction. And he begins to walk through the city. And if you look there in Jonah sometime, you'll see it gives you the exact dimensions of the city. It's pretty fascinating. And so he starts walking into the city. He begins to do what God wants him to do. And this is, there he is right there. Not an actual photo, but he begins to walk through the city. He takes those steps of obedience. But we also hear in our gospel text this morning about some who began to follow God's way as Jesus was calling them to come into God's kingdom and to begin walking in God's kingdom. He goes to these fishermen, Andrew and his brother, Simon Peter. And Jesus says, hey, come and follow me. The kingdom of God has come near. You don't have to wait any longer. It's arrived. It's right here. It's in me, and I want you to come and follow me in the way that I'm going. And so what do? Mark loves that word immediately, and it's a very quick gospel. But he reflects on how quickly the disciples started following Jesus. They didn't do what Jonah did, but they did have to drop their nets. And dropping their nets meant dropping their income, dropping their way of life. And so they put those aside. And then the same with the sons of Zebedee, James and John. Jesus says, come and follow me. I've got a better direction for your life and for the world. Please come along and follow. And so they do. And they begin to go in God's direction. Well, those two stories, those two accounts really help us today, don't they? As we recognize so often in our lives that we go the wrong way. I mean, let's be honest. In fact, the scripture even says that, that we go our own way and we go away from God. The Bible from cover to cover is full of reminders of that. As we look at Adam and Eve, and we see that they chose to go their own direction, not God's direction. And so, in this season of Epiphany, as we recognize that God comes and intervenes in our lives, that God reveals himself to us in lots of different ways. And when that happens, when God reveals his way for you, what we ought to do is be like Jonah, to get up and go, to get up and go with God and God's plan for our lives and for our world. But that's not always easy to do, is it? There are a lot of different things that kind of get in our way of doing that. But it really becomes what we find here in Scripture, very simple. And the first thing that we ought to do in following God's way is to repent. And I think in this setting, especially since we're talking about directions, we could talk about recalibration. That what you and I need to do with our lives when we are going the wrong direction is to recalibrate, to make a change in our lives. And that's what repentance means. It means changing our minds, changing our actions, that we are going to quit going in our way and we're going to turn and go in God's way. And that's what Jonah did. That's what the Ninevites did, by the way. They got the whole community together and they started mourning and fasting. They put on sackcloth and ashes to show that they were grieved by what God had told them, and they were wanting a change. It was a revival. And as they did so, they not only did that for themselves, they got the animals So it's kind of like a cosmic repentance. They put sackcloth and ashes on their cattle and all their livestock. Everybody is grieving, and they are turning. They're recalibrating to go in the direction that God wanted them to go. And we need to do that too, especially as we begin this brand new year. We need to make a change. But also, we need to believe. And as the scripture says here in Jonah, that he believed God. And the people of Nineveh believed in God. James and John and Peter and Andrew, they believed. And that word just means commit, that they committed their lives to them. And so we need to commit to Jesus if we're going to follow God's way for our life, God's way for our world, to commit to his leadership. Why is it so hard for us to do that? I mean, we come to church and we say, yes, we believe in Jesus. We say the creeds together. We sing hymns about our belief. But when it comes right down to it, it's not so easy for us. It means dropping your net, dropping the things you've put all your trust in, dropping your reputation, and putting absolute trust in Jesus. And you know what? He's never wrong. God's direction is not going to lead you in the wrong way. Every time it will lead you in the right direction. And like Jonah, we just have to really get started, don't we? To take that first step. Yesterday I went for a run. It was cold outside. I didn't want to run. I really had not kept up with my running lately. And, you know, you're inside in a warm environment and you think, why do I want to like go outside where it's like 20 degrees and run? Why? I mean, that just doesn't even make sense. But what I did was I put on my workout gear. I put on my tennis shoes. That was a start. And I thought, well, now that I've got all this on, I might as well go outside. So I went outside. And I thought, well, now that I'm outside, I might as well take that first step. Just take one step and then take the next step. And then the steps after that got really easy for me. But I had to take the first step. And when God reveals his direction for you, take the next step. And you may say, I don't see any more steps. I don't see where this is going, God. But once you take one step, you'll see another step. And then you'll see another one. You will see the path ahead that God wants for you. I love the prayer by Thomas Merton. You may not be able to read it there. He says, my Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, will I trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Merton certainly lived that out. And we ought to do the same. May we notice God's path ahead for us. And may we take it. Let us get up and go this morning. Amen.